Well, it is so good to be here. Can we give it up real quick? Just praise God for the worship band tonight. What an amazing time of worship. We're going to jump into the Word tonight. If you have a Bible or phone or whatever it may be, if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Seth introduced me earlier, but my name is TJ. If you just walked in, I serve at a church just north of Nashville, in Tennessee, and I love this church, not just because of the connection with Long Hollow in Nashville, but also because of my dear friends who are here. We're so thankful for Dustin and Danielle, Seth and Abby, their families. I was thinking about this on the way here. I have known Dustin now for 20 years, which is crazy. It's crazy. Getting old, getting up there. But I remember, Danielle will remember this as well, but when I was dating my now wife in college, she would come down. She was in Birmingham, Alabama. I was in Mobile on campus, and she would come down almost every weekend, and Danielle would always put her up in the dorm. And so just super thankful that she helped our relationship. You know what I'm saying? It was great. It was great. But it is so good to be here. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. Dustin asked if I would come and speak on Bible engagement. Now, Dustin is taking some time to be with the Lord today. He's visiting the master, you know, the one down the road. But he asked, as a part of this series that we're in, that I would come and speak on Bible engagement. We're in this series called Fundamentals, and we're talking about the fundamentals of the faith. And Bible engagement is one of those things that is vital for our belief. It's vital for our relationship with the Lord. A couple years ago, I was actually living here in Atlanta, just north of here, and my wife and I were in the kitchen, we were cooking, and my daughter, who loved to dress up, always was dressed up in something, whether it was princess, superhero, something. She was always dressed up. People started donating costumes for her to wear. And I remember she had this Hulk costume, and it was like the whole thing, like the padded muscles. She had the foam hands, the feet. She had the whole thing. And when she would put those costumes on, she would become that character. And you couldn't tell her otherwise. And my wife and I, we were cooking dinner, and all of a sudden I heard my second daughter crying. And it was like one of those, like, come help. Like, I am in dire need right now. And so we run out of the kitchen, and we go into the living room. And my oldest daughter, who is fully decked out in her Hulk costume, is straddling my second daughter and has her by the neck and is just bouncing her head off the ground. And we come in and we're like, Maddie, what in the world are you doing? What are you doing? Like, you can't beat up your sister. Like, this can't happen. Like, go fight the couch or the wall or something, but you can't beat up your sister. What do you think you're doing? And she looks up at us and she takes the mask off and she's got these tears welling up in her eyes, and we just know we're about to get this heartfelt apology, and she looks at us and goes, I'm sorry, Dad. And we just lost it. We just lost it in that moment because we realized that she was totally consumed by the character. Like the Hulk, she puts on that costume and she becomes the Hulk. When she puts on the Elsa costume, she would become Elsa. She would try and freeze everything in the house. And I tell you that story to tell you this tonight. Jesus wants us to be totally and completely consumed by him. He wants us to love him and to know him in such a way that it impacts the way we talk, it impacts the way we live, it impacts the way we act. It changes the way we look at our relationships. It changes the way we look at family. It changes the way we look at church and mission. It changes everything about us. And the way we get to know the Lord, the way we get to know Jesus is through his word. It's through Bible engagement. Lifeway did some research a couple years ago. They were doing some research on just the different spiritual disciplines. Many of those you're going to talk through in this series. But one of the things that they determined is that there is one spiritual discipline that impacts all the other spiritual disciplines. You know what it was? It's Bible engagement. Bible engagement is the one spiritual discipline that if you will get into the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word into your life, it impacts the way you pray. It impacts the way you worship. It impacts the way you fast. It impacts the way you practice silence and solitude amongst many other disciplines. It impacts all of who you are because the Bible is God's Word. And when we get into the Word and allow God's Word to get into us, it impacts all of who we are. And so as we talk about Bible engagement tonight, here's the main idea, if you're taking notes. The main idea is this, because we don't want to just know the Word of God, but God calls us to much more than just to read it and to know it and to learn from it. He calls us to obey it. And so the main idea tonight, if you're taking notes, it's not what you know, but it's what you obey that makes the difference. It's not what you know, but it's what you obey that makes the difference. So why is Bible engagement so important? There's three reasons that I want to give you tonight. And I told Dustin I'll only take probably an hour and a half. And so y'all good? No, I'm kidding. We'll just take a few moments to look at these three reasons. But this is why Bible engagement is so important. Number one, because God is the author of the Word. Bible engagement is important because God is the author. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It says this, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Some of your translations may say breathed out by God. Like literally, when you open God's Word, it is as if God is breathing into your life. He's speaking His words, His wisdom, His knowledge, His heart into your life. And so this is unlike any other book that we're going to see in a moment. But when we open the Word, we are literally opening the words of God. And so when Paul says this, all Scripture is inspired by God, what Paul is showing us is the incredible authority that the Bible carries. It's the authority of the one true God. My wife, I feel like I give her some good gifts, but even if I gave her the lamest gift of all time, she is going to cherish it because she knows who it came from. And in the same way, like we should love and cherish the Bible and engage with the Bible on a consistent basis because we know who gave us this Word. We know who the author of the Word is. It's not just for our enjoyment. It is for us to get to know the one true God. And so it is breathed out by God. It carries authority in it. This is the same God who created all things. He created everything you know and see. He created you uniquely in His own image. This is the same God that when we turned from Him in Genesis 3, He didn't cast us out and destroy us, but He said, I'm going to provide a way of grace and mercy so that you can have hope and salvation forever. That's the God who wrote this book. And that same God who sent His Son Jesus to live a perfect life that we cannot live, to die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin, and to be raised from the dead like we celebrated on Easter. This God who sent His only Son for our sake wants an intimate relationship with you. He loves you, and He inspired this Word so that we can get to know Him and know Him well, and so that it would impact all of who we are. Number two, Bible engagement is important because it guides our lives. Bible engagement is important because it guides our lives. Looking back at verse 16, Here's what the word says. All scripture is inspired or breathed out by God, and it is profitable. It means useful or beneficial for us. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. The word of God, we should engage in the scripture because it is a guide from God's heart to our ears. It is his voice into our life to guide us and to direct us and to correct us when we're wrong. It rebukes us in times of need. It points us in the right direction. God is giving us the guide to our life. It literally says it's profitable for us. It is beneficial for you. There's no other book that carries the weight of the scripture. There's no other book that has the ability to peel back the layers of your life and your heart and see the sin and draw you into conviction. There's no other book that has the ability to do that. It says it's profitable for rebuking, for correcting, for teaching, and for training in righteousness. The picture we get when we read these words of Paul to Timothy, the picture we get is one of a broken bone that's being set back in place. I remember in college, and if I'm sorry if you have a, you know, one of those, you get grossed out easy. I'm sorry for this. But when I was in college, we were playing intramural softball. I think Dustin was actually on my team. And I was playing shortstop, and we had this guy in center field who was like 6'5", 280 pounds. And there was a ball that was hit in between us. And I was going back this way. He was coming in full speed this way. And he hit me, and I did two flips and got up, and my shoulder was down here. It was bad. It was so ugly. And I walked off the field, almost blacked out, walked off the field. We had a trainer, if you remember Taylor Lee. We walk over, and she comes up, and I think she was in school for training at the time. And she comes up, and she goes, "Nope, we need to go to the hospital." Like, it took her that amount of time. She was like, I can't do anything with that. And so we go to the doctor, and I remember they knocked me out, because it was so bad, they put me under anesthesia, and I woke up, and it was back in place, and it felt like I was a new man, right? I felt so much better. But what the doctor was able to do is he was able to take something that was broken and messed up and put it back in its rightful place. When we dive into the scripture, what Paul says to Timothy is, it is able to rebuke and correct you and teach you and train you in righteousness. We are broken people who are desperately in need of Jesus. And so when we get into the word is able to diagnose our sin, convict us of sin, rebuke us of our sin, and correct us and make us right with God. That's what the word does. There's no other book in the world that can do that. There's no other book that has the authority to do that in your life. It's only the Word of God, because the Word of God, with the power of the Spirit of God, speaks life into you. It speaks life into me. I love the context here, because Paul is writing to Timothy in the midst of false teaching. There was sin and false teaching that was creeping into the church. And so Paul is saying, like, I want you, first of all, to be aware of this, but I want you to stay faithful to the word. Like, continue to go to the word of God and allow it to transform your heart and your mind and your life. When you look at the beginning of chapter 3, you see the effects of sin and false teaching in the church. It says, "Know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." None of that is good, right? That's the effects of sin. That's the effects of false teaching. And so what Paul is saying to Timothy is, while the world is loving those things, I want you to keep a love for the word. While the world is loving self and living in unholiness, dive into the word so that you can live in holiness. So that you can be with the one who is holy, so that through him you can be holy as well. So stay in the word of God. We say at Long Hollow all the time, we want to get into the word until the word gets into us. Like, we want to get into the word until the word gets into us. We want to live the word of God. We want to be in the word of God until it impacts all of our life. Number three is this. Bible engagement is important, number three, because it equips us for gospel impact. It equips us for gospel impact. I love what Paul writes here. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, listen to this, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we get into the word, we allow it to convict us of our sin, our brokenness, to draw us to the things of God, to correct us, and to equip us for the work that God has for us. Like Ephesians 2, I believe it's verse 10, it says that you are God's workmanship. You're created in Christ for good works. He has given us good works, but we must go to the word of God in order to be equipped to do the works that God has given for us to do. If you're going to know your calling and live into the calling of your life, you've got to get into the word so that God can show you and reveal himself to you and help lead you in the way to a righteous living. But Paul goes on, and I love this. Remember those words, to correct, rebuke, to teach. But then he says this, and this is where we're going for the rest of the time. It says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. And because of his appearing and his kingdom, here it is, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. He's using the same exact words. He's using the exact same words. Remember, our main idea is not that you, it's not what you know, but it's what you obey that makes the difference. God wants us to get into the word. He wants to correct us, rebuke us, teach us, so that we can then go preach the word and see that same impact on the world that's around us. And what I want to show you from this passage is this. You cannot have an impact for the sake of God's word in the world until God's word has had an impact in you. That's what Paul is showing us. You first go to the word, you're filled with his word, and then we go and we do ministry and we live out his word and we live in obedience to what he's calling us to do. See, many of us, we try to live out our lives with an empty vessel. We wonder why we have no power. We wonder why we have no impact for the sake of the gospel. And if we were to be honest with ourselves, and I'm not just saying like this is you in this room, this is me. Like, full transparency, like I have to come to the Lord on a regular basis and say, Lord, am I being filled with your word? Am I allowing the Spirit of God to move me and direct me and to teach me from the word so that I can live what you've called me to do? And so we have to all ask that question. A lot of times we're trying to do ministry apart from intimacy with Jesus. We have fallen in love with the work of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and we lack the intimacy and relationship with Jesus. And so that's the question that we've all got to answer tonight is, Where are we when it comes to Bible engagement? Are we diving into the Word? Are we allowing it to change us? Because then and only then can we change the world through God's Word. Then and only then can we impact the world through God's Word. I want to show you this in another passage of Scripture. If you go with me to James 1, James chapter 1, verse 22. Listen to what God's Word says. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. So James is calling us to not just hear the word, but to be a doer of the word. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament. When you look at the Jews in the New Testament, one of the passages of Scripture that they lean on regularly is Deuteronomy chapter 6 that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That word hear in the Old Testament, it doesn't just mean to, hey, listen to what I'm about to say, but the word literally means to listen what I'm saying, but then go do it. So there was always this connection between knowing what God is saying and doing what he says do. Not just being hearers, but being doers of the word. And James uses this incredible picture of someone who goes to the mirror, they see themselves in the mirror, and then they walk away and they forget who they are. They forget what they look like. I've always wondered, like, what does that mean? But I've seen this with my daughter a lot. My youngest daughter, she's 4 years old, and she got a makeup kit for Christmas. And oh my gosh, what a mistake. Every day she gets up, she grabs the brushes, and I mean, it's just like a, like she puts the whole kit on every day. And what's funny is she does it without a mirror, and so she'll just be sitting downstairs, she's putting it on, putting her lipstick, she's got it all over her ears, everything. And she just thinks, oh man, I am the best makeup artist in the world. And then she looks in the mirror and she's like, this is not what I thought I looked like. This is not what I thought it looked like. She sees the imperfections. And she's like, Mom, I need a wet towel. I need something so that I can fix this. This is terrible. She's looking into the mirror. She sees her imperfections, and she wants to correct it immediately. But what would happen if she looked in the mirror and she was like, oh, this is terrible, but then walked away, forgot about it, and went out into the world? Like, people are going to be looking at her like, what have you done? That's what James is saying here. When we look at the Word of God, which is looking at God's mirror, and we listen to it, but we walk away and we don't do anything with it, we're doing the exact same thing. When we look into the mirror, what we're going to find is brokenness, shame, guilt, imperfections, all of those things, but God shows us through his grace and mercy how to be corrected in the Lord. And so we do those things so that we can live in holiness and live in Jesus. That's what he's calling us to do from his word. See, many of us, I heard this quote a couple years ago, many of us have been educated beyond our obedience. Some of you in this room, you've been going to church your entire life. Some of you, you may be new to church, and that's amazing. But for some of you, you've been going to church your whole life. You know all the things about the Bible. You know all the things about Jesus. You know what discipleship looks like. You see it in the Scripture, but you're doing nothing with it. And so my challenge for you tonight is not to just be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer who works. to listen to the Word of God, allow it to influence your thoughts, influence your actions, and be obedient to what the Lord says to do. So as a way of invitation tonight, I want to ask you a couple questions, and then I want to give you a tool that I think would be super helpful if you're new to the Bible, new to Bible engagement. I think this tool could be really helpful. But first of all, ask these questions. How well are you engaging with the Bible right now? Maybe a better question, what scripture is guiding your life right now? Can you answer that? Like, can you be honest with yourself? The second question is this: what might you need to adjust in your life to make the Lord and His Word priority for you? There may be some sin that's lingering in your life that you need to repent of. There may be busy schedules that you need to make some kind of adjustment. Maybe you sleep in too much, you stay up too late playing video games or watching Netflix or whatever it may be, and there's some minor adjustments that you can make so that you make the Word of God and make the Lord priority in your life. A simple tool that I want to show you, and I don't think we have notes on this, and so I'll explain it. If you're taking notes, you can write this down, but just write the word HEAR, H-E-A-R. H-E-A-R. This is called the HEAR study method. And for many of you in this room, if you've been coming to City View for a while, you're probably familiar with this, but this is a really helpful tool if you're new to the Word, if you're new to the church. I really think this could benefit you. But the H, when you're looking at a passage, and I would recommend when you're starting out, read maybe a couple of paragraphs at a time, maybe a chapter at a time. Don't go in reading an entire book of the Bible and then being like, what did I just read? Like, start small, read a little bit, but the H is highlight. Highlight something that stands out. So as you're reading, there's going to be questions that come to your mind, and there's going to be specific passages that you're like, wow, what? Man, God is speaking to me through that verse. What does that mean? I want to find out what that is. And so we're highlighting those things. You can literally go in your Bible. I don't write in my Bible, but you may be one that just doesn't care. You can actually get a highlighter, highlight it. But then the E is this: explain it. Explain it. So you're digging in, you're highlighting that verse of the Bible, and then you're seeking an explanation, an interpretation of that verse. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. It's easy for us when we get to this E, we highlight and then we try to explain it. It's easy for us to immediately jump to like a commentary or a study Bible and try and figure out, okay, what does this person say this means? But what you're doing when you do that is you're actually robbing yourself of hearing from the Spirit of God first. And so don't jump to a commentary to see what the Holy Spirit said to John Piper and then to you. Ask the Lord to speak to you first. And then once you have an explanation, then you can go to other sources to see, like, am I on track here? Like, is God teaching me something new that nobody else has ever said before? Or am I in line with the rest of Scripture? The A is apply. It's apply. So we always want to apply God's Word. This is what we're talking about tonight, right? Don't just be hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word. We want to apply God's Word to our life. And it's not just reading the Scripture and saying, what does this mean to me? That's not how we interpret Scripture. Because if I were to read a passage tonight and say, what does that mean to you guys? There would be 70 different explanations of that passage. And so we don't want to ask, what does this mean to me? What we want to say is, what did the author intend this to mean to the original audience? And once we understand that meaning, then we say, how does that apply to my life? How does that apply to my life? And then the final one is respond, act, right? We apply it, and then we do something about it. We got to do something about it. So if you're reading the scripture, something jumps out at you, God reveals maybe some sin in your life, you apply it, you pray in response, and you say, God, I'm done with that. I want to repent. And so the hear method, super easy tool. Hopefully that's helpful to you guys tonight. But I hope this has been helpful. Man, we want to be believers who are engaging with God's word. He gave us this word. I mean, it has survived thousands of years so that we can know God and know him intimately. And so I just pray that we would take that seriously. This is not a tool for us to use. It's a treasure for us to behold. And so may we hide this in our heart, memorize it, learn it, love it, and fall in love with Jesus. Amen? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for your word tonight. God, I pray that we would not be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Lord, would you teach us daily what that looks like? I pray this in your name. Amen.